If you've been listening to the Campfire podcast and would be willing to share your thoughts by answering a few questions, please let us know via the PharmaHealth website or by emailing the team at campfire.ncfh@wdhs.net. Listeners who provide their feedback will be eligible for reimbursement for their time. Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Quad bikes have an unenviable safety reputation in Australia. But despite this, if you tried to ban them on farms, there'd be an uproar. Does that, though, need to be the case? Perhaps not, as one of the country's largest dairy operations has recently proven. G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and Aurora Dairies produces nearly 200 million litres of milk each year. It's a remarkable volume which requires a lot of travelling on over 30 farms. So moving away from quads has been a major change. But most importantly, it's been a successful safety change because it's been owned and embraced by all employees. To discuss how it was done and the ongoing positive outcomes for everyone who works for Aurora Dairies, their CEO, Ben James, joins us for this Campfire podcast.
Hi, Drew. Pleasure to be here.
Ben, you work with a very large organisation in the dairy sector, but I want to understand where you come from originally in your dairy journey, because I get the impression you had mud under your boots at a young age.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. I guess farming was always in the family history, and Dad didn't go back on the family farm, but we had a long history of farming in the family. I actually started in dairying, interestingly enough, on the York Peninsula in South Australia, which is probably a funny place to come across dairying, but I used to go and stay out on a family farm out there, got interested in showing cows, and that was when I was around 10 years of age, and I guess from there it flowed into a real passion for cows, passion for the dairy industry, and I guess that's really continued to develop and flow into a passion for the people in dairy as well.
Yeah, York Peninsula is not exactly known for its dairy industry, Ben, but you're talking about a time too when dairies were small. You now head up an organisation that produces 185 million litres of milk a year. That's an enormous number, and as a 10-year-old, you wouldn't even get your head around that when you started your journey. Can you tell me a bit about the operation? It must be a reasonable size to produce that sort of quantity.
Yeah, so the operation, and we've undergone reasonably significant expansion over the last 3 years, but we've got 35 dairy farms through southeastern Australia, and effectively stretch from Millicent in South Australia in the west to Echuca in the north and Sale in Gippsland in the east. So 35 farms, and I guess, you know, they're all individual operations. We manage those operations top to bottom, employ all of the farm teams and have managers across all of those operations. So effectively, we've got a number of families that work and operate those farms. So when you look at it from a collective base, it's certainly a big operation, but at the same time, on individual farms, there's the same focus on the individual farms as is common on most dairy farms in Australia.
That's a large area, and that many properties would require quite a number of people. How many people are involved, Ben?
We have a bit over 250 employees and also milking about 28,000 cows, and as you mentioned, producing about 185 million litres of milk. So I have that focus on our people. Dairy is a business that is particularly reliant on people. It's quite intense, milking the cows twice a day, pretty much every day of the year. And so it's really important for us to be able to have a safe and sustainable environment across all of our farms. And back in 2019, in consultation with our team, we actually went through, which included a large number of our farm managers at the time, we all went through and established a collective vision and set of values. And the lead value that the team settled on in that was safety and wellbeing. And that was all about wanting to be a leader in safety, ensuring that we're able to provide safe and enjoyable places to work, in which we had a culture where everyone was responsible for their own safety and everyone was responsible for the safety of those that they work with. So all about how do we all keep safe so we can all keep farming and ensuring that everyone gets home safely every single day. And I guess that safety focus in terms of people also translates through career progression and pathway in our business and opportunity. And that development piece is something that we're particularly focused on as a business.
You actually led to where I was going. I understand your motto has become safety first. What's the rush? And I'm really interested in that ground up perspective, i.e. everyone's taken responsibility for this. And I want to focus on quad bikes, because you've ended up having a very important discussion about quad bikes and how you use them on your properties. They're a very important tool for farmers. Before we talk about where you've got to with them now, back in 2018, how did you try and minimise the risks around quad bikes?
I guess back in 2018, we had a very structured arrangement around how do we manage some of the risks around quad bikes, mandatory use of helmets. We had a structured accredited external competency assessment, operator protection devices fitted on every machine, significant safe work procedures around use, and then also a rigorous induction process and also buddy up systems for new workers across different tasks as well. So there's a number of things that we had in place there. I guess just coming back to, you sort of mentioned the safety first, what's the rush message. There was a real cultural piece in that around no job is so important that it can't be conducted safely. Rushing and complacency, they're both really dangerous in agricultural workplaces, and something that we've really, I guess, continued to focus on in that is asking people to think about what's their why. Why is safety important to them? Because it's individuals that get injured. It's somebody's father, mother, daughter, son. And it's individuals that get impacted when it goes wrong. So really trying to get people to think about why is it important to them and why are they going to ensure that they're thinking safety first and not rushing to get tasks completed.
That's a really important cultural approach to instill in everybody and everyone to take ownership of that. And you detailed some really clear parameters you had around the use of quad bikes. In 2018, though, something changed. What happened?
So in 2018, we experienced two quad bike incidents and a side-by-side incident. And out of those quad bike incidents, the result was that two employees were injured. They had shoulder injuries, which required surgery, which was a real trigger. I guess we hadn't had any incidents with quad bikes for a period before that, but that was a real trigger for us to go as a business, okay, we need to review our all-terrain vehicle approach. Considering the safety and wellbeing as our lead value, how do we look at this and how do we review this to ensure that we've got the safest outcome that we can get?
Ben, you said that time was a trigger point in terms of reviewing how you used ATVs on the property. So what did you do? You know, one way would be to come in and say, right, new rules, we're doing this. But I get the impression you didn't do that. There was more engagement with the team as a whole.
It really sparked a process, I guess, in terms of going through and conducting quite a bit of research and Health and Safety Manager, Gavin Merriman, did some in-depth research, international and national research, including a literature review, which had 31 research and peer-reviewed papers that went through and looked at. And that was really around assessing the risks associated with ATV use, also going through and looking at different options. So that then led into a process of in-depth consultation with all of our team, so going through with all of our employees. And rather than just focus directly on quad bike use, it was around a broader review of vehicle use on farms. So it covered a little bit more, which I think probably enabled us to just look at a broader number of options. We did a number of things. We did consult with WorkSafe Victoria around a number of those items at the time. We did farm manager interviews. We did a number of staff surveys, which was, I guess, trying to get a feel for and an understanding of their perception of risk. Talked about it at our monthly health and safety meetings at each site, which then led to identify alternatives and going through and analysing a number of different alternatives to look at.
In regards to those alternatives, one of them I understand was you got rid of quad bikes altogether, which I imagine is easier said than done. How'd you do that and what'd you go to and what other things you put in place to ensure that people are travelling safely around the properties?
That was a real journey, I guess. So when we went through and looked at that, and some of this comes back to how do we assess what the key risks were? And through the research, through our talking to all of our team, it clearly identified that speed and terrain were the two key risks. And so some of the initial focus when we were looking at that was around, okay, how might we be able to support being able to control those or change behaviour in those areas, which initially led to the use of GPS trackers on bikes and using speed limiters as well. That enabled, logging of speed and understanding speed across the farm. But one of the key parts of that GPS technology was being able to geofence high-risk areas. And so in that, we actually set up a GPS fence, if you like, which was recognised by the GPS device on the quad. And so then there was an alarm on the actual quad bike, and then we've got this on our side-by-sides as well, which notified the operator that they were in a no-go zone, which is what we sort of determined them to be. So, and farm managers got live notifications of speed and entry into those no-go zones, which really also supported being able to discuss those safety behaviours with the team as well. And it was really interesting that based on the fact that this wasn't about, I guess, trying to stop people doing things, this was really about how do we collectively make our workplace safer. That engagement piece was critical because a key part of the implementation and uptake of all of that was the fact that the team actually recognised that what we'd put in place and talked about and collaborated on was all about how do we make a system that supports them being safer in what they do every day. So we had that in place for a period and then we continued to move to the next step, which was after another accident that we had with a quad bike. And in that accident, the speed and terrain wasn't an issue. And I guess when we were going through and looking at it, it led us to the decision that we should remove quad bikes from the operation altogether. And it's really about the unacceptability of the risk of rollover. And so that then led into the conversation with all of the team too around how do we look at the impacts of that change? How do we best implement it? What's the right way to move into making that change in the business?
It's a really interesting process. It's been a long process, but it's also been data driven. I mean, you must have spent a lot of money to fit out all the ATVs on the properties with that sort of equipment and then collect an enormous amount of data, which then gave you something quantitative to say, well, look, these are the facts and this is why we need to think of another path. That would have helped that conversation, I'd imagine, a lot.
Yeah, it certainly did, Drew. And I think if we look at our, one of the key pillars in our operating strategy is information management systems and data insights. And this was, I guess, an early example of how we've incorporated those components into our business. And quite often, that's about, you have the conversation around, well, you know, this is what we think is happening. Now, the real beauty of that objective data is that it makes that conversation pretty targeted and pretty specific because you're talking about facts. And so the GPS units, those devices and the data that came from that, that was a key part in terms of being able to communicate with all of the team and talk with all of the team about logical next steps and progression, I guess, through the change management process. And ultimately, that's what that process was all about.
Well, in terms of that change, it sounds like that's taken a number of years to implement and a lot of money too, I'm guessing, Ben. You know, to get rid of all your quad bikes, what have you replaced them with? And I'm guessing you've probably needed to modify properties to deal with them. It's a serious investment in safety.
Look, it has been. I guess if we go through and look at that, you know, effectively with a lot of the quad bikes, we're trading those in on alternate machines. And so there's a cost to that. And put that in perspective, though, too, I guess, when you go through and look, I mean, what price the safety of all your people? And so when we look at this, there's a pretty clear link when we go through and look at how does that all piece together. I guess part of the cultural piece that we're trying to put together in all of this too is safety with production. I think quite often from an agricultural industry point of view, we've probably perhaps not quite got the focus right in terms of how we think about safety. Safety's been thought sometimes as a handbrake to productivity, whereas I guess we're trying to shift our thinking in terms of if we have all of the right controls and culture in place, then we can operate in a very productive manner, which is inherently safe. And I think that investment sometimes in equipment and the like is an important part of driving that shift in focus and being able to work with productivity in a safe manner.
Well, on that, Ben, how's the approach to safety management changed your staff's attitude towards innovation and change in the business as a whole?
Yeah, it's a good question, Drew. And we've also set up a safety system which has an app, and we've tried to, I guess, streamline through the use of that, the ability to be able to capture incidents and hazards and different items across the farm. And that's a little bit of that technology piece as well in terms of how do you remove paper out of that process? You know, it's a simple and easy capture. When you think about those things, and I guess when I talk to the team about some of those, you know, I sort of look at those. If you can capture a hazard or an incident in that safety system, then that potentially could prevent somebody else in your team or in our business from getting injured. And one of the big advantages that we have with the scale of our business and having 35 farms is we don't need to reinvent the wheel 35 times. We don't need to make the same mistake 35 times. So that collaboration, that sharing knowledge and experience is crucial for us and a competitive advantage for us as a business. So, you know, when we talk about reporting hazards and recording incidents, what a great way to be able to play a role. If you could prevent somebody else from getting injured, I mean, that's just a good thing to be able to do. And I think the team's certainly involved and bought into that idea.
Aurora Dairy received the 2021 WorkSafe Award for commitment to workplace health and safety on farm, and congratulations to you and your team for that, for all the work that you've done to get to that point and to be honoured in that way. How's that changed things for your business?
I can't think of a better award as a business and as a group of people to receive than one that is related to safety, innovation and excellence. So certainly from my perspective, that's one that makes me so proud. And that award really recognises what has been a fantastic achievement from our whole team. You know, as you can appreciate, those initiatives across that sort of scale don't just happen. And we had a lot of people involved in the development and implementation of that initiative. And a lot of people played significant roles in getting that up. And then the way that all of our farm teams embraced that approach, that was the absolute key part to its success. And, you know, I continually thank our people for their commitment to improving safety on our farms. And I think it was just another step. So some of the shift that we're starting to make now, I guess, in the business, which flows on from that, is really focusing, I guess, on some of the critical controls in the business. So, you know, what's some of the key risks? What's some of the things that can seriously injure people? And how do we go about being able to manage those risks in our business? And the progression in that is it's pretty clear and visible in our business, and the farm teams have certainly supported that and driven that, and it's all of those components. So how do we manage induction? How do we manage training? How do we manage high-risk work? How do we manage licensing and competency across different areas? And then, you know, there's a piece in that too around that collaboration piece, or how do we engage and talk about safety in the business? There's a number of different components that have flowed on from that process and thinking, and probably the other one that's particularly important in that is the really strong engagement and collaboration process in that initiative. I guess we've been able to continue to develop that and utilise that sort of approach across different areas to be able to manage risks in our business.
Ben, for those listening to this, they've heard a remarkable focus on safety. What would your parting words be, or what words would you like to leave those listening to this with about safety when it comes to their own journey in implementing safety on their own properties?
I guess effective change management is quite often difficult. But if we go through and break it down, safety in agriculture, we need to continue to improve. That improvement will come from changing how we do things and how we focus on things. You know, I guess for everyone in agriculture, it's about how do we share ideas, how do we collaborate, how do we all work together so that collectively we make our industry safer. And a big part of that is how we drive that safety culture within our industry.
Ben, it's been a delight to talk with you. You genuinely walk the walk with this. Safety certainly is in your DNA, and it sounds as though your team benefits from it and the business is growing from strength to strength because of that. Ben James, CEO of Aurora Dairy Farms, thank you for taking the time and sharing your safety insights with us on this Campfire podcast.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate your time.
If you've been listening to the Campfire podcast and would be willing to share your thoughts by answering a few questions, please let us know via the PharmaHealth website or by emailing the team at campfire.ncfh@wdhs.net. Listeners who provide their feedback will be eligible for reimbursement for their time. Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for PharmaHealth website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for PharmaHealth and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.